You know, the Bible reminds us in a well-known passage that we are to be looking for the blessed hope and the glorious appearing of our great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. All of us know that that is found in the book of Titus, chapter 2, and verse 13. Well, tonight we're going to be looking at two Christmas prayer warriors. Now, some of you may be prayer worriers, and Yuletide season may be no exception, because you are faced with many, many concerns and trials and testings. And yet, we have the example of two senior citizens in the gospel narrative of Luke chapter 2, if you'll turn to that portion of scripture. Two senior citizens that exemplify for us the concept of looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. All of us know that there are two advents of our Savior. By advent, I mean comings. He came in his first coming, offering the kingdom. And we know that in his second advent, he's going to come to establish that kingdom. But in Luke chapter 2, beginning with verse 25, we're going to be looking together. Yes, together, because I'd like for you to discuss with me a few of your observations that you may see in this portion of Scripture that are biblical principles whereby we might be able to live by, realizing the imminency of the coming of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's take a look at Simeon. First of all, stated in verses 25 through verses 35. Luke 2, 25 through 35. Let's read verse 25 and let's see if we can draw out a few things out of the life of Simeon that ought to be good goals for our lives. Notice it says, "Behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon." You know, the word Simeon portrays this man's character. The word Simeon actually comes from the word which means to hear or to hearken. Well, what do you think that would tell us about a goal that we ought to have as Christians? The word Simeon means to hear or to hearken. What type of relationship with the Lord should we have based upon his name? To hear or to hearken? Do you think we ought to be listening to the still small voice of the Lord? Should we, in these days prior to the coming of Christ, be listening for the signs of the times, being discerning as the sons of Issachar were understanding in the days in which they lived? His name portrays his life. By the way, what does your name mean? John means God's grace. I would hope that I would exemplify that in how I handle others, pointing them to the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. What does your name mean? Perhaps you've done a little bit of studying on your name. I see Steve here on my right here from Stephanos. Yes, that's right. And so many, we could go around the table if we had time and consider some of those things. But here was a man who lived the meaning of his name. And what terms characterize his relationship with the Lord? Because verse 25 talks to us about his righteousness, doesn't it? What does it say here? It says, there was a man who was just and devout. How could a man be just in Old Testament times? Yes, we're living here on Old Testament ground. This is the gospel period, but still under the dispensation of the law. Pre-Pentecostal times, pre-cross work, actually, how could a man be just by Old Testament standards. Anyone want to share with me? Sensitive to the law, that's right. Obedient to the teachings of the sacrificial system and that which the Word of God taught. Those things were a covering, were an atonement. He was devout, just and devout. And what does it say he was waiting for? The consolation of Israel. By the way, you see that word waiting? It's the same Greek word that is used in the Titus 2:13 passage, looking for the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. Same word. So here we have Simeon who's living out, but waiting for the consolation of Israel. What's the consolation of Israel? What was everyone waiting for in those days? The Messiah. And what was the Messiah to do? He was going to come and establish his kingdom. And the kingdom would bring consolation to God's people according to their understanding through the Abrahamic covenant and the Davidic covenant and the covenants of the Old Testament. He waited for the consolation of Israel. The Holy Ghost was, what's that preposition? Upon him. Remember, pre-Pentecostal days, the Holy Spirit came upon individuals. Individuals were not indwelt by the Holy Spirit. Colossians tells us that the mystery of the church is Christ in you, the hope of all glory. The unique characteristic of church age believers from Pentecost until the rapture is that we are indwelt. But here was a man, the Holy Ghost was upon him. He was a man of faith. We've seen his righteousness, but now let's take a look at verse 26 at his reassurance. And what does it say? What was his reassurance now? It was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. Now, you can't claim that today. I'm well aware that my mother, in her testimony, before she went home to be with the Lord, and I have it on video, I asked her, how long do you think you're going to live? And she told me, well, I don't think I'm going to die. I think that I'm going to be alive at the rapture at the coming of Christ. Well, she went home to be with the Lord in 2003. The Holy Ghost did not reveal to her supernaturally. She was hoping, trusting. Some of you could very well be alive when Christ comes to establish his kingdom, but we don't know by divine revelation. The Bible says that there will be a generation that will be raptured up, but we're not sure. We can speculate and we can all see tribulation signs on the horizon and say we could be that generation, but none of us can claim, even the most ardent of charismatics can scripturally affirm that I will see the Lord. But this was a time when the Lord was communicating special revelation to individuals. And this is inscripturated for us. And notice what it says in verse 27 here. He was rejoicing because of it. He came by the Spirit into the temple, and when he saw the parents bringing in the Christ child to do for him after the custom of the law, then took him up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now lettest thy servant depart in peace according to thy word. For mine eyes have seen thy salvation. Can you imagine that great peace and rejoicing that he experienced here? And then he begins to utter divine revelation. And he says this in verse 31, which thou hast prepared before the face of all people. And he begins to predict what Christ would be, a light to lighten the Gentiles. By the way, most of you are in here right here. Most of you are goyim, okay? And you are a Gentile. And it's a light. Notice, the glory of thy people Israel. for those that would receive him. But isn't it sad that he came unto his own? By and large, his own received him not. John 1:11. Joseph and his mother marveled at those things which were spoken of him. They didn't understand all of it, but they marveled, and Simeon blessed them and said unto Mary his mother, behold, let's look at this revelation. Let's interpret it. Behold, this child is set for the fall and rising again of many in Israel. What does that mean? Anybody want to posit a suggestion? He's set for the fall and rising of many people. What does that mean? What are you going to do with him? Are you going to receive the Messiah and be exalted on high and know that the best is yet to come and have the assurance of eternal life? Or are you going to reject him? That's true today. Oh, many people are going to Christmas parties and they're toasting and they're drinking the suds and they're popping the corks and they're wearing the outfits and all of the party attire. And yet they're celebrating, in many cases, to their fall. Toasting to their fall. Because for them, Christmas is just a fun time to entertain the kids and the party. And it has nothing to do with the arrival of the Messiah as Simeon declared him to be the Savior. And notice it says here, rising again and the fall of many in Israel, and for a sign which shall be spoken against. And by the way, it's happening today. And it happened today at 6 o'clock news. Over and over and over again. You see people that are more concerned about political issues than they are of the rejection of Jesus Christ. More people that are concerned about issues and things that are self-seeking than those things that are divine and eternal. And notice the profound prediction in verse 35. My question to you is, what is he referring to? Yea, a sword shall pierce through thine own soul also. Who do you think he was talking to here? And what would cause that to happen? The crucifixion. Who was there? Mary was there. Only a mother can fully understand. Oh, we dads can empathize, but only a mother can understand what it means to witness the death of her son. But then the death of her son for the unjust and for unjust reasons, and yet this sword would pierce her own soul, but yet the thoughts of many would be revealed. Let's take a look at another senior citizen in the few moments that we have. Several things are said about her. Notice there was one Anna. By the way, we were talking about the meaning of names. Anna means grace. Anna was my grandmother's name. I like the name Anna. There was one called Anna. She was a prophetess. The word of God appeared unto women, and they prophesied in the Old Testament. She was a prophetess. She was the daughter of Phanuel. Phanuel, the meaning of that name is the face of God. Notice it says here she was of the tribe of Asher. She had great lineage. She had a great legacy. And she was a woman of God. I want to thank the Lord for the legacy that many of you have sitting right here. And you know what? It's by grace. We should be thankful for it. And we should praise the Lord. Now, some of you listening to this devotion might say, well, you know what? I don't have any legacy except debauchery. But you know what? The good news is that you can change that. You can begin the legacy so that others might be able to someday look back and thank the Lord for you in what he did in your life. But it's also a warning to us that we keep on living based upon that legacy because we're accountable. Much is given to us. She was of great age. The hoary head is a sign of honor if it walks in the pathways of the Lord. She'd lived with a husband 7 years from her virginity. She was married 7 years, and then her husband died. She knew what grief was. She was 7 years and then became a widow. And now, how old is she? 84 years. Abraham Lincoln, help us out a little bit here. What's 84 and only 4 years in this case? 84 years of age. 84 years young. Some of you might be able to run competition with her, but I thank the Lord that you're following in the pathway and in the legacy of Simeon and Anna. And it says this regarding her: she departed not from the temple. Here was a woman that probably lived in the precincts of the temple. Provision was made for her as a widow within the temple area on the outer perimeters, and she was always in the house of the Lord. She loved doing the work of the Lord, and no kidding, it was her whole life. She loved it. Every church has those people that love the Lord. They're dependable, and pastors rely on them and enjoy their service of God, and every pastor can think of family members that are that way in the congregation, and all of us, we have many here at Central Florida Bible Church. And it says she departed not from the temple, but then she served God. That word served is used in the Septuagint of the priesthood, going about the responsibilities of serving God. Therefore, she did it as if she were a priest. And of course, by application, we're a kingdom of priests. Everything we do, we don't do grudgingly, but we ought to do it as if we were going about the service of the Lord. And notice it says she served God with fastings and prayers night and day. She always hung around the temple, and she probably knew a lot of people that had a lot of burdens, and a lot of people talked to her. A lot of people probably talked to Anna better than they would their own mother. And they would come and unload while they were waiting at the temple. They knew that they could confide in her, and they knew it would stop there, and they knew that it was in confidence, and godly counsel would be given, I am sure. And praise the Lord that Anna was probably a proxy mom and a proxy grandma for a lot of people. Do you know of people like that? Do you have anybody like that in your life? Again, many pastors have. I have. And it says here, she served the Lord, praying night and day, because I'm sure the requests were many. And she, coming in at that instant, gave thanks likewise, just like Simeon, unto the Lord, and spake of him to all them that looked for redemption of Israel. So there are a lot of good things. She was a wise woman. She was a virgin before she was married, which means that she lived a holy life. She was a wise woman. She was a widow. She was a worker. She was a worshiper. She was a witness. I'll tell you what, she was a living dynamo for the coming of the Lord. Both Simeon and Anna were from a godly heritage. They were men and women of prayer. They served the Lord faithfully. And just like 2 Timothy 4:8 says, they loved his appearing, and it was evidenced in their priorities. May that be the case in our lives. Let's be looking for the glorious hope of the coming of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, we thank you for this holiday season. This could be the final year before the coming of the Lord. We know that we cannot say that through special revelation, but Lord, we're told that your coming is imminent, and Lord, it can happen at any time. Help us to be faithful. And Lord, we thank you for these two examples of godly individuals that, Lord, historically were privileged to be placed between the testaments, as it were, to see the coming of the one who would initiate that new covenant. So, Lord, thank you for your word, and we ask, Lord, that you'd guide us as we go to prayer. In Jesus' name, amen.